Show. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! About a minute past the hour, a little more than a minute past the hour, and we begin this Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home, and that's where you go. Well, I don't know if I can say that about the chat room or not. It may still be sideways. If it is, I sincerely apologize. I'll wait until, okay, that's what I thought. So we are crashing at the Malloy chat room this evening until we get our chat room issues sorted out. If you want to go there, you can just go to MikeMalloy.com and click on Truth Seeker Chat Room. Pick yourself out a screen name. It's generally right, but that's where we're going this evening. The advantage of the Malloy chat room being that it isn't Java-based, which at this point in time has created no small amount of hell for a whole lot of people whose computers do not presently like Java. A lot of things don't like Java anymore, and, well, it's not hard to understand, you know, why. Yeah. So if you'd like to join us there, do please feel free so to do. And I'm headed there now. Yes, indeed. For anyone wondering, this program is live. This is the 19th day of November 2015. And over at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, there's one functionality that still works quite well. And frankly, it's rather critical that it do so. Does so. Really? Grammar problems this early? Damn. And that is the Contribute tab. The Contribute tab is how we, and that in a combination with the United States Postal Service, which is, as I have recently found to my extreme chagrin, periodically wholly unreliable. I hate to say that about the Postal Service, because I like the Postal Service, but man, did I take a screwing from them. Never mind. The Contribute tab there, that's where you'll find the PayPal interface, and I want to send out special thanks this evening to our dear friend Alan down in Texas, who became a subscriber just today, because there's a challenge on the table. Courtesy of Tony and Chico, one of our longest-lasting, most dedicated and persistent subscription contributors. And as of tomorrow, Tony has offered to double the first month's subscription for everybody. For the first 10 people, the first 10 brand-new subscribers that we have monthly contributions. Remember, everybody who does subscribe gets a bumper sticker. There's going to be a flurry of and make sure I get your address when you subscribe, please, so that I can send that to you. There will be a flurry of envelope stuffing with bumper sticker or bumper stickers in the very near future. It has not happened yet, but it will. We have the postage, we have the envelopes, we have the bumper stickers. It's just a matter of sitting down and doing it now, and, well, we'll do that. I tell you what, we have crossed the line on the, let's see, if we're calling it the Formidable 400, how about the Frontier 50? We do have more than 50 subscribers, and that includes people who, for instance, if you subscribe and you contribute $100 a month, you count as 10 subscribers, because we're talking about $10 subscriptions. Yeah, that's a highly complicated term, that blah. So anyway, every new subscriber gets a bumper sticker. And so that'll be happening in the fairly near future. If you get an envelope with some sort of scrawly looking addressing on it, that was handwritten by me. If it looks like it was written by a lovely human being, it was written by Agnes. So anyway, we have 7 slots to fill in Tony and Chico's challenge. 7 more people can get with their new subscriptions can get their first month subscriptions doubled, which is really cool. Thank you, Tony. And we have $180 to go to meet Chris in Germany's challenge, which she put forward because, well, with me doing what I'm going to be doing next week, I won't be on the air in this slot. However, I will be sending the program out via the Horn stream from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. Okay? Okay. But anyway, so I won't be on the air in this slot, so we won't be able to do any fundraising, which will put us in a dickens of a hole at the coming up on the end of November. So there's Chris was kind enough to put a $500 challenge on the table. $220 of that $320 of that have been met, which means there's $180 to go on that, which works out nicely because we try to raise $200 every evening. And, well, we need to raise $200 this evening. 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 1250, 32 at 6 and a quarter, and that's as far as my Cyphron and Gazintas will let me confidently go. Okay? If you prefer the U.S. Postal Service, that's the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. And, Laborman just said, don't send me a bumper sticker. I have one already, courtesy of Lottie. Ah, but you don't have a They Want It All bumper sticker, Laborman, and you'll be wanting one of those. And if you look on my Facebook page, you can find an image of it. It's a wonderful handcrafted image. It's just a black and white bumper sticker like we talked about in the past. It's a handcrafted image of a pig in a top hat, and there's a dollar sign on the top hat, and he's got this big toothy grin, and it simply says They Want It All. Yeah. Well, that's true. That's true. And I admire them for it. Jug of Punch noting the U.S. Postal Service are made of union workers. Apparently the mail sorting machinery is not organized. They will sometimes lose critical pieces of postage, which will get mangled, and then it gets all torn up, so the Postal Service says, well, screw it, and just chucks it in the trash. You don't want to know. It has made things very complicated. And frankly, I don't need any more stress in my life right now. I had plenty, thanks. But anyway, good evening in the Malloy chat room. Good evening to Devin and Jug of Punch and Laborman and Lottie and Sparky, who has folded space to become Man Cave. Good evening to Urban Prospector, and good evening to chat room moderator Greg, who has kindly invited us to come a visitin'. Now, it is indeed, in fact, inevitably, Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn. Mm-hmm. Um, Now, Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn is typically intended to take note of those particular... I mean, we've got Titanic Tuesday, and that's for the really dumb stuff. But when it comes to just mean, pig-eyed, hateful, stupid things, well, we've got a rubber stamp here, and we just kind of... And we call that Hold for Thorn in the Side Thursday. I'll leave it up to you to come up with, figure out the acronym for Thorn in the Side Thursday, because I didn't mean for it to be that way, but it just sort of turned out that way. Mm-hmm. But the reason I went over the historic origins of Thorn in the Side Thursday is because we have an exemplar, we have a thorn, if you will, this evening, that almost defies description. It's like the thorn. It's the Jungian archetype of thorns. I'm talking about, of course, the United States House of Representatives. Now, this miserable bunch of misanthropic miscreants who form the Republican majority of the House of Representatives, well, we've known since 2010 that they were a miserable bunch of misanthropic miscreants, okay? Otherwise known as birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, deathers, booger eaters, etc., right? But it's been a while since we've had proof of just how absolutely nasty they are. But there is a nasty strain running through this country right now, and I suppose that it is made manifest by the people that the nasty people elect to go and be nasty for them in Washington, D.C. And that's today. That's the lead thorn. You would think that a country that had upon its hands the blood of those shipboard human beings who sailed stateless and bootless over the briny main and were eventually sent to their deaths because, what was it, the steamer St. Louis was not allowed into the United States, and it was full of people trying to escape the ravages of the Holocaust in Europe, and the United States said, no, I don't think that's such a good idea. I mean, we wouldn't want to anger our partners in peace, the Germans, and of course, Prescott Bush was probably in the background saying, "No, definitely wouldn't. I have some rather sensitive business dealings with some folks over there. My good friend Fritz, you know, don't you know? Yes. No, wouldn't do at all. Wouldn't do at all to let those Jewish refugees into the United States. No, absolutely not." You'd think a country that had that going for it would maybe say to itself, never again. We're never going to be that mean and crappy and outright disgusting and utterly without any redeeming humanity about us ever again. And you would be wrong. Oh, you would be so wrong. You would be laughably wrong. By the way, Carol Baker has a message for us all. She says, "I'm exempting everyone from mentioning Hitler since so many politicians are talking about ID papers, camps, etc." Carol said, "I went ahead and paid the $20 up front," and that's absolutely true. I just saw that come through, which means that our fundraising goal this evening is now down to $160. Uh-huh. But then there is an oh my God, the nastiness, the abject nastiness that is running through this country. It's stunning. Let's start, of course, in a, and I see at least a soupçon of irony in this. Let's start in the volunteer state. Shall we do let's? Damn it, Gerald. Gerald just said, boom, 6:15, I win. And you do. How do you do that? Were you in Carol in cahoots on this one, Gerald? I know. But as I said, we should probably start in the volunteer state, where. A Republican there, Natch, yeah, where a Republican has declared that it's, has declared that it's time to, this just feels filthy coming out of my mouth. It's not even my idea, but I want to shower in bleach with this. This is living, honest to God, this is living proof. We're toast, we're done, it's over. All those high-minded ideals that those slave owners put together back in 1787, we just, with another rubber stamp, just paid. We just put paid to it. Great God in heaven. It beggars the imagination that we can be, and I'll go ahead and say we, because he's not the only one, not by a long shot. Lawmakers, we call them lawmakers, law, like they're some sort of soul on the lawgiver, but no, they're politicians. But the Tennessean, which is pretty much the paper of record for the state of Tennessee, notwithstanding the Memphis Commercial Appeal and the Knoxville battle cry of freedom, moral volcano, and right, whatever the paper in Knoxville is. But the Tennessean, via an article written by Dave Boucher, I'm presuming that's Dave Boucher and not Dave Boucher, because they'd probably run him out of Tennessee if he was Dave Boucher. There in Tennessee, one of their highest-ranking Republicans has said, I'm not worried about what a bureaucrat in D.C. or an unelected judge thinks. We need to gather them up, meaning the Syrian refugees, all of them, who happen to be in the United States. We're not sure yet whether that includes Steve Jobs' kids, because after all, his daddy was a Syrian refugee. We need to gather them up and politely take them back to the ICE Center, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and say, they're not coming to Tennessee. They're yours. God damn! That is some ugly, ugly, pig-eyed, stupid meanness. come to Tennessee are yours. And he didn't put any qualifiers on it, this jerk. Oh, no. House GOP Caucus Chairman Glenn Quesada, a Republican from Franklin, Tennessee, and he said, "We need to activate the Tennessee National Guard and stop them from coming into the state by whatever means we can." By whatever means we can. You know, that's a rough back reference to something I think that starts with Jean-Paul Sartre and follows through Malcolm X and was put into the political social consciousness of the United States as by any means necessary. Which, if you know the history of the phrase, that could be a little bit unsettling. It certainly was unsettling to white America when Malcolm X used it. Mm-hmm. By any means necessary, or in the case of Glenn Quesada Millenhead, no, it's Quesada, not Quesada. That's probably giving his brain too much credit for too much mass and heft. "We need to activate the Tennessee National Guard and stop them from coming into the state by whatever means we can." Whatever means we can includes machine gunning them at the state line. Whatever means is very, very broad. And next time it comes around time to have a little old election, well, the voters there in Franklin, Tennessee will run. They will not walk, they will not crawl, they will not stroll nor saunter to the polls to cast twice as many votes for Glenn Quesada for protecting the volunteer state from 3-year-olds and 2-year-olds and the weeping women who left dead husbands, dead fathers, dead mothers behind in the blasted ruin and rubble of Syria. "We don't want their type here. We got enough of them dark-skinned people here anyway. Yeah, bad enough, but these ain't even dark-skinned people what you can convert to your Christianity. I mean, they're Muslims." Carol Baker tells me that the Missouri legislature is meeting to stop the Islamicization. No, that's too many syllables. Stop the Islamization of Missouri. First on the agenda, eliminating algebra from every mathematics curriculum in every public school, in every private, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing school in the entire state. This is after, remember, we're 10 years old now here at the Horn. I haven't seen a level of ugly. Are you coming from a party whose essential nature is to be ugly? I haven't seen a level of ugly like this within the boundaries of my considerable memory. So that was Tuesday when Glenn Quesada said, "Stop them from crossing the Tennessee line by any means necessary." That's Tuesday. And I guess there are enough decent progressive people in Tennessee. I mean, heck, Charlie calls in from time to time, so we know there's one. We got a couple of other buddies, one over in East Tennessee. That's two. We got another friend over in West Tennessee. That's three. So we know there are some progressive people in Tennessee, and that was probably enough to, well, whatever, however many there are, that was probably enough to maybe call shame, shame on Glenn Quesada. But you get the idea that a man like Glenn Quesada is, with talk like that, man, he's got national ambitions. Oh, yes. So he caught a little grief for that mow him down at the border comment. Hey, little Syrian kid, you want to come over here and play with the Easy Bake Oven? Yeah. And this, of course, it's not just Syrians trying to cross the Tennessee border. It's the ones who are already there. They're going to have to come to the big Tennessee roundup. But no, having caught a little bit of flack, did he back away and realize that he had engaged in a level of hatefulness not often seen in the United States, or perhaps seen all too often? Well, hell no. What do you think? Yes, labor man, I agree. Bob, lots of jagoffs in Tennessee. Oh, believe me, I know. But no. Now, if the government don't act by any means necessary, Glenn Quesada has now issued another statement. I am calling for civil disobedience in order to protect the lives and property of Tennesseans. And that has consequences. Because, see, if you're a Syrian refugee and you already live in Tennessee, well, you're not a Tennessean. And you ain't never going to be one. No siree. Uh-uh. No. Ain't no such thing as a Syrian-ian or a Tennessearian. Oh, we may have a new word. No. You ain't going to be one. You ain't never going to be one. We don't want you to be one. We ain't welcome here. We don't want you. Get out! But like he said, civil disobedience has consequences. And you have to ask yourself, which is greater, life or due processes? Because you know what? Them little Syrian babies, they comes out of the womb with genetic dynamite belts just waiting right there under their diaper area. Because, of course, among other things, the governor of Tennessee Stan, Bill Haslam, has joined with, as the Tennessean puts it, more than 30 other governors in asking federal officials to stop sending Syrian refugees to their states. However, Governor Haslam says, this request to the president was made in response to the concerned Tennesseans, sure, about our security in light of the Paris attacks. Because, you know, first they attack Paris, and then they're right there in Bucksnort, Tennessee. And there really is one. Bucksnort or Elksnort? Can't remember. It's right there on I-40, somewhere northeast of Memphis and southwest of Nashville. Pass right by it. And I believe states need to be more involved in knowing who is being placed in their jurisdictions. However, let me be clear, we must not lose ourselves in the process. I think that horse is out of the barn there, Bill. If we abandon our values, completely shutting our doors to those who seek the freedom we enjoy or mistreating our neighbors who made it here after enduring unimaginable hardships, the terrorists win. Well, Bill, when you ask the federal government not to let any Syrians enter Tennessee, well, the terrorists done won. You're making the argument for ISIS at this point. You're confirming their worst and darkest statements about us. You bastard. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, down in Texistan, five Syrian refugees presented themselves, to Border Patrol in Laredo. Then, of course, Governor Greg Abbott issued an immediate press release saying that five Syrians were caught at the border, and that's why we as Texans must be ever vigilant. So yesterday, Glenn Quesada, proud—I guess we'd call him. What is he's got ambitions of being the Ayatollah of Tennessee. Said our Democratic friends like to exaggerate, and so they want to portray this picture that we're going to take them to intern camps. No, we're not going to take them to intern camps. We're not going to transform them into interns. You bootless thug. You ruffian, you mounty bank, you roundabout, you jack of clubs, you ten of diamonds, you king of, well. No, we gather them, we take them back to ICE. I think they're based in New Orleans. We take them back to ICE, back to the federal government, and we say, gentlemen, make sure these guys have no tie to terrorist activity. That's all I'm a-saying. Never mind the fact that that's already been done through a rigorous vetting process that takes, you know, up to 2 years before somebody can actually get here. And just as I predicted, Quesada says he's getting plenty of support for his comments on Tuesday. He says ISIS leadership has pledged to send tourists to the U.S. and points to recent comments from FBI Director James Comey. Because of something Comey said back in October, to wit, I can't sit here and offer anybody an absolute assurance that there's no risk associated with, you know, the refugees. Ah, here's the fun part. I mean, the roundup is going to be fairly simple. During fiscal 2015, 1,601 refugees were resettled in Tennessee. Of that 1,601, why, that's enough little terrorist babies to reduce every Wally World in Tennessee to a heap of smoking rubble. Well, only 30 of them were from Syria. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Jason Powell, who is a Democrat from Tennessee, said, for all those calling on civil disobedience, I find it to be very irresponsible and downright scary. Joe Towns, another Democrat, said he's lost his mind talking about some civil disobedience. We need some civil disobedience for health care. It's absurd. That doesn't make any sense at all. That civil disobedience talk, that will backfire. He needs to settle that nonsense down. Unfortunately, Mr. Towns, I sincerely doubt it. Have you taken a look at where you live, brother? I mean, I respect you having the courage to be a Democrat down in Tennessee and everything, but I mean, come on. You're a Democrat down in Tennessee and everything. Meanwhile, after the American Civil Liberties Union of Tennessee and the Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights Coalition termed Quesada's by any means necessary comments dangerous. Did you hear the scare quotes? Yeah. Well, Quesada shot right back. They're lucky he didn't. They're lucky he did it metaphorically and not literally, and said, "Well, you know what? These two guys, the ACLU and the Tennessee Immigration and Refugee Rights Coalition, these two guys are dangerous. And why do they want to put Tennessee lives at danger? So my question is, why do you want Tennesseans to die? The blood of innocent people is on their head." On the other hand, if we can just cast some little Syrian refugee babies out into the cold of Tennessee once winter gets here, well, the blood of them is not on the head of Glenn Quesada. No, hell no, it's on the Islam. Maybe it's on the Common Core, or possibly a Gender 21. Persisting in listening to the strange little voices that echo around the empty place where most people have brains, Quesada continued and said, "I'm just sounding the alarm. Think of me as Paul Revere." Oh, the Muslims is a-coming. The Muslims is a-coming. One if by land, and two if by sea, and three if by magic carpet. The Muslims is a-coming. Y'all just think of me as Paul Revere. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa reminding me it's not just Governor Hoodlum and the Repiglicans. Ooh, I like that, Governor Hoodlum. Is that yours, Asa? Because, well, you deserve credit. "Our gods standing up here in premiers here in Canada are now crying the same thing as are now crying the same thing at the federal government Canada style." That's not going to be good for you, Asa. That's not going to be good for your well-known and well-earned reputation as being a very polite bunch. Merciful God, which he isn't, it isn't, well, you know, great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky that he is. But it's not just Tennessee, and it's not just Tennesseans. The whole point of this is that this country is in a paranoid frenzy of weird, hateful meanness. I mean, I saw a post from somebody that is dear to me that I deeply respect saying, "Well, you know, I mean, it's not just grown Syrian Muslim males who can blow things up. It's not like they're not willing to strap a dynamite vest to a baby." And giving crap to the governor of Ohio for, yeah. But no, it's not just a jackass from Tennessee. We are apparently jackass poor in this country right now. But thankfully, there's somebody there to protect us right there in the Senate of the new United States of America. David Vitta is on the trail, I tell you, of the killers. He is. I would not tell you otherwise were it not so. Oh, come on, David. Now quit fooling around with the hookers and say what you done said for me so many times earlier today. Is that what's going to... Oh, for pity's sakes. One more time. Because, see, apparently, them serialins are just slipping all over the country, sneaking into the heartland of the parent land. How I wish I were kidding. I am not. No, not in the least. I don't know, David Vitter. You reckon maybe they slipped off to Tennessee? No, I don't think so.
Just last week, a Syrian refugee was resettled into Baton Rouge. As of today, he's no longer there. He's gone missing. Allegedly, he on his own is relocating to Washington, D.C. But from the briefings I've had from the state police, no one is in contact with him. No law enforcement or government agency is tracking him in any way. He may or may not check into a social service agency in Washington, D.C. They have his information. Apparently, they're not in contact with him. Now, this is within a week of his being resettled into where he was supposed to be in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, which I object to as a Louisianian. Again, he allegedly is coming to Washington, by the way, our nation's capital, under high security alert, and no one knows exactly where he is. No one is tracking him adequately at all. Again, this clearly underscores the inadequacy of our current program.
See? Okay. A little show of hands, romper room style, because I can see everybody here. Little show of hands. If you were brand new to this country and they dropped you in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and you took long enough to look around, dear friends of the Horn and members of the Family Commune congregation living in Louisiana, stand notwithstanding, maybe you can dope out enough English to read the New Orleans Times-Picayune, just a couple of pages worth of it, before you went, "Aah!" and took off a running. Granted, Baton Rouge is the home of the Louisiana State University, and yes, I mean, it's a lovely campus, an absolutely lovely campus. A lot of lovely things about Louisiana. God knows, the food, the culture. But that state has been taken over by right-wing reactionary proto-fascists. Did you, and by the way, because David Vitter, I'm sorry, is an absolute idiot, did you notice his reference to, and he took off for Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, by the way. You can almost hear the nun beating that into him back in school way back when. What is Washington, D.C., David Vitter? Our nation's capital. That's right, and don't you forget it. But they're law enforcement isn't tracking him, and they're not watching him. What happened? How did? Why you not got no tattoo? Where's your tattoo? Unscannable. I mean, are I had no idea. Are Syrian refugees supposed to be? tagged or something, like a whale or a dolphin or a lion or a tiger or a grizzly bear or something? I don't. And what about those RFID chips? I mean, I can remember when the little the God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing friends of Jesus teabaggers didn't want nothing to do with none of that RFID technology. I mean, remember that school in Texas was going to use them just to keep up with the free school lunch program? And the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christians said, no, for that is the mark of the beast. Yeah, well, no, but none of that counts if you're a Syrian refugee fleeing for your life from from more hellish violence than any American short of the military, which is less than 1% of the people in the United States, have ever even contemplated. I've seen photographs, and you can find them too. That's the beauty of the interweb tubes. Photographs of what the fighting over the last few years in Syria has done to that nation. Taint pretty. But it's intolerable. It's intolerable to these lovers of freedom, and that's freedumb, by the way. They should stay there in Syria and get murdered. Now, it'd be terrible if they got murdered by ISIS. Maybe not so terrible if they got murdered by the forces of Bashar Assad. And it wouldn't be terrible at all if they died for freedom. Wolverines! In, say, a bombing run by French or American or British or whoever's forces. Because, you know, sometimes if you want to make an omelet, you gotta break some three-year-olds. And then there's that whole freedom to move around the country thing. It's sort of essential to, or was it once upon a time, our vision of ourselves as Merkins. That if you lived in, say, New York, or here, let's make it more interesting. Let's say you live in New Hampshire, and you get a hankering to see the sunny skies of San Diego and go and sit for 2 weeks and hear a weather forecast where all the guy ever says is sunny again tomorrow. And you could get in your beat-up Nash Rambler in New Hampshire and take off down that socialist highway system. And if you were persistent and had enough money to buy the gasoline, sooner or later, you would, in fact, be basking under the sunny skies of San Diego, California. And along the way, nobody would ever ask you, may I see your papers, please? Ah, very good, very good. Your papers are in order. You may proceed. It doesn't happen. No border patrol, say, you know, as you cross from, let me think, as you go down the coast and, you know, somewhere in Florida, you pick up I-10 and there's nobody waiting at the Florida line to make sure that you're not one of the, okay, you're from New Hampshire, that's all right, as long as you're not one of them socialist Bernie Sanders supporters from Vermont. I mean, y'all might be right next to each other, but I tell you what, they're a bunch of commies. Wrong, Bob. IPI notes in the chat room. At the California border, they stop you to look for fruit. Well, that's only because there's nobody more inscrutable in the world than your Muslims at putting bombs in fruit. I mean, what if somebody was to attack you with a peach? Or perhaps a handful of currants. Or a banana.
And by the way, within the recent past, whatever happened to all those Republicans walking around in response to Black Lives Matter saying, all lives matter? Well, okay, all the lives except maybe the Syrian refugee ones. And maybe they'd matter, too, if they'd just stay there in Syria. Why can't they solve their own problems? I mean, that's just a soupçon of the ugly that is transmitting itself through our country. And, of course, as usual, a great deal of the ugliness that's not focused on Syrian babies who would like, you know, Syrian three-year-old refugees who would like to become four-year-old Syrian refugees, the part of the hatred that's not directed toward them is, by God, directed toward that one in our White House. Remember Rick Wiles? Sure you do. We were talking about him a couple of weeks ago. This is the guy that had the dog named Gator that lost its mind to barking at the blow-up spider on his neighbor's lawn, because even Gator understands that Halloween is demonic. Yeah, that genius. Mm-hmm. Well, see, there's not really any crisis over there on whatever weirdo radio program Rick Wiles hosts. There's not really any crisis. It's in Syria. It's all a super tramp cover. You know, crisis? What crisis? And it's not just, you know, it's not just a made up crisis. It's a crisis made up by that one in our White House. You see how it works? Yeah. Oh, they're inscrutable, they are. They are so inscrutable. It's mind-boggling. So Rick Wiles, well, he knows the score. He knows what time it is, and God only knows how many people tune in to hear this freak. And he knows who started it and why, and get the hockey puck.
Avi Lipkin was on this program in early 2011, just as the Arab Spring had started. And he told me that his wife works for an agency in Israel that monitors Arab news outlets. Mm-hmm. And he told me that what she was picking up in the Arab news outlets, and since 2011, is that Barack Obama was going to lead an Islamic invasion of America, that there was going to be chaos in the Middle East, and it would be the cover to migrate millions of Muslims into the West. He was on this program in 2011 and said those words.
Wow.
And a lot of people could not believe that that was true.
They couldn't even imagine it at that time.
Couldn't imagine it. That was such a wild conspiracy theory. But I'm telling you, this is what's going on. This mass migration is not an accident. It's not the fruit of bad policy.
This is not a boating accident. We're going to need a bigger boat.
It is the fruit of deliberate policy.
I agree.
Yes. See, we were talking about fruit a minute ago. Kumquats? Cassava melons? Uh-huh. I mean, your pomegranates? Them's your muzzled fruit. Dates?
This is a man who is deliberately hitting beehives, going from tree to tree, hitting a beehive with a baseball bat. He knows what he's doing. And this is to create total confusion in the West. I'm talking about Barack Obama. This man is Jihad Barry. He is a jihadist. I personally believe it. I believe history will prove me to be right.
Then again, he also believes that the Earth was created in 7 days, that it's the whole damn planet is just slightly younger than the written recipe for beer. Oh, the things Rick Wiles believes that his neighbors blow him in it. It's making Gator go crazy. Poor Gator. I feel so damn bad for Gator. Oh, I mean, really. Get the spider, Gator. Get the spider.
I'm going to be criticized and mocked now, but
you're damn right you are. But what? I heard something that sound like it started with the letter H. No, we couldn't be going for the Daily Double, could we?
History proved me to be right. I'm going to be criticized and mocked now, but history will prove me to be correct. He is a jihadist.
Oh, sorry, Gerald. I thought that was going to be something else that went heh. No, history's not going to prove you to be correct, Rick Wiles. Modern medicine can prove you to be sane, roughly on a par with, the guy screaming about what the fillings in his teeth are telling him. But no, history's not going to prove you to be correct. But you heard that, right? You heard that. Jihad Barry. They are doing everything in their power, these putrid right-wingers, these followers of Christ. They're doing everything in their possible to try to get somebody ginned up enough to take a pot shot here or there. Yeah. Is it as disturbing to you as it is to me? 'Cause this is... This is a frightening... I don't know, and granted, Carol has given us a pass this evening. I don't know what it looked like as things began to come undone in a certain country in Europe in the mid to late 20s and into the early 30s. I don't know what that looked like. But this is a country that has gotten perilously close to losing whatever good character it once had. Maybe we've always been this mean. Maybe we've always been this vicious. Maybe we've always been this cowardly. I mean, the birthers, deathers, tenthers, baggers, booger eaters, they're terrified of infants. Infants. They're terrified of mothers with their babies at their breast and hoping only not to see their children become fabulously wealthy or become Donald Trump, but that they would simply live to see tomorrow. Because in a place like Syria, tomorrow is about as far away as the furthest star in the firmament. God Almighty. And so we come to the end of the first hour's filibobster here on this Thorn in the Side Thursday. And we haven't even gotten to the actual thorn. We've just sort of been, examining, examining the long stem of that particular poisonous rose, but we haven't gotten to the one real saber-tipped thorn. Now, if you'd like to get involved in the conversation, I highly encourage you to do so. We do call this conversation radio for a reason. You know the number, right? Line 1, area code 304-574-8178. Line 2, we call the stress line, area code 304-663-4676. We've got $160 to raise this evening. $160 to go in order to meet Chris's challenge, and coincidentally, $180 to go in fundraising for this particular given evening. Mm-hmm. Your help is both needed and appreciated in perpetuating this little exercise in independent broadcasting. So, light them up if you want to. Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn. If you've never communicated that way, feel free to. And if you've never sent me a contact request, feel free to do that as well. You know, up near Morgantown, our buddy Robert says, the terrorists aren't going to have to do a thing to us other than make us paranoid. We will kill each other. Like Twilight Zone's The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. Serling was a brilliant guy. Oh, yes, he was. And I was thinking of the very same thing. Great minds, great minds. Might have to look around the internet somewhere and see if I can find a copy of that to watch this evening. The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. It being a Thursday and whatnot, we have the Green News Report coming up. Like I said, this is Conversation Radio. This is The Horn, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
Yesterday, I was up before the dawn, and I really have enjoyed my stay, but I must be moving on, like a king without a castle, like a queen without a throne. I'm an early morning lover, and I must be moving on. Say, is the undisputed truth. But I have to have things my own way to keep me in mind. Like a ship without an anchor, like a slave without a chain.
It's Thursday, November 19, 2015.
They want to sift through these emails, look for bits and pieces that, if you yank them out of context, look suspicious.
House Republicans double down in their continuing war against NOAA scientists. Taxpayers subsidize fossil fuels to the tune of $500 billion a year. October 2015 is the hottest October on record. Plus, Canada's prime minister kills another tar sands pipeline.
All of that carnage and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
It's almost like they'll put you in prison for challenging the religious dogma of climate change on campus, and that's crazy.
That is crazy, Senator Rand Paul. As crazy as saying that it's almost like they'll put you in prison for challenging climate change. Rand Paul plays the victim card. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, global warming deniers continue to tell us that the globe is not getting any warmer, and yet scientists continue to tell us that each month is giving us record heat at this point, pretty much every month, I think, this year.
Yeah, denial of reality, it's what they do. And of course, now there's more. October 2015 was the hottest October in history since record-keeping began in 1880. That's according to new data released by NASA. So far, almost every month in 2015 has broken the record for that month, making it almost certain that 2015 will surpass 2014 as the hottest full calendar year on record.
But other than that, the globe is not warming.
Oh, but wait, there's more. NASA says 2015 will register a full 1 degree Celsius warmer than pre-industrial temperatures, and that is an important threshold because 1 degree Celsius is halfway to the internationally agreed upon warming target of 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. World leaders meeting in Paris in 2 weeks are negotiating a comprehensive international emissions treaty, and the goal is to keep those temperatures from rising more than 2 degrees. So, just to be clear, we've already reached the halfway point of warming.
In other words, just to be clear, that 2 degrees, that's what we're going to go, they feel, no matter what. They want to try to hold it to no more than 2 degrees Celsius.
Right.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Plus, NASA reports that El Nino is now officially the most intense El Nino ever recorded, with sea surface temperatures in the Pacific Ocean already surpassing the record temperatures at the same point during the 1998 monster El Nino.
Well, when is it going to bring all of the rain here to Southern California?
That is an excellent question. Nobody knows.
And so far, no rain.
In U.S. politics, a big story. Story that's flown under the radar. The chairman of the House Science Committee is going after scientists at NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and the National Science Foundation. Representative Lamar Smith of Texas has subpoenaed the personal emails of federal scientists because he claims they've committed scientific fraud in a major new study showing that there has been no pause in global warming. So far, NOAA has complied with the House Committee's data requests, but they've refused to hand over personal emails. On a recent broadcast, environment journalist David Roberts of Vox.com says this investigation will undermine U.S. science research.
The damage that they're doing to the practice of science in the U.S., I think, is much deeper and more disturbing than whatever the ebb and flow of who's up and down in electoral politics.
David Roberts went on to tell me that this is just a matter of harassing them. And they just want to find something in those emails that they can use out of context to somehow try and embarrass them. They have absolutely no evidence for this jihad, if you will, against climate scientists. It's amazing.
Internationally, despite public pledges by governments to cut down on fossil fuels in advance of the UN climate talks, a new report from the nonprofit group Oil Change International finds that developed countries spent a combined average of nearly $500 billion on fossil fuel subsidies in 2013 and 2014. In the U.S., taxpayers give the fossil fuel industry a cool $20 billion in permanent subsidies every year, while renewable energy subsidies are set to expire this month. Finally, in the U.K., the British government has announced this week it will close all coal-fired power plants in the country by 2025. That's phasing out coal in 10 years. And in Canada, just a few weeks after President Obama rejected the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline, Canada's new Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has killed another one, the controversial proposed Northern Gateway pipeline project across British Columbia. Trudeau is making permanent a ban on oil tankers off the coast of British Columbia, which effectively ends the Northern Gateway pipeline.
Unbelievable. Rejecting the Keystone XL pipeline, Governor Cuomo in New York just rejected a natural gas pipeline. Now Canada itself rejecting its own pipeline. It really is a new day for fossil fuels, a new and not good day for them, but maybe good for us. For much more on all of these reports and the ones we couldn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey, gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
15 minutes past the hour as we begin hour number two of this Thorn in the Side Thursday program. And a little bit of humor along the way. And a note coming in from Roger in Oregon. Subject line, dangerous fruits. You'll have to consider. This is a back reference to the first hour. Dangerous fruits. Cherry bombs. Propaganda masquerading as current events. Orange, you glad you are a Christian. Paris. That's P-E-A-R-I-S. Paris, France not Texas, terrorist, and Grape Caesar's ghost. Oh, Roger, Roger, Roger. And you know, a lot of love going out for the super tramp there, and goodbye, stranger. Thanks, Kelly, and thanks, Jim, and thanks, Gerald, and thanks, Carol. These things happen. Let's see here. Okay, so we've got... We've got a nice little string of nasty going this evening for Thorn in the Side Thursday. Oh, hi, I'm still Bob Kincaid. And why quit on a good thing, right? Right. So one of the problems we have is that if you follow Glenn Quesada's advice, and if you start rounding up Syrian refugees and sending them back to wherever they come from, I think it's New Orleans. That's where your ICE concentration camp is. Send them back. If you do that, people might actually think you're not a very nice person. And we can't have that. Because Jesus. Jack pointing out, by the way, I was really surprised that Dangerous Fruits wasn't about the conservative fear of the gay. Oh, stop it, Jack. Of course, that's the way they think, but, you know. Right. But the problem is, you want to be nice. You want to be, you know, that's one of those southern things. And of course, a great deal of this fear, this miserable, gut-binding, cowardly terror that is gripping the country is of course quite at home in the home of American treason, and those states that decided to take up arms against the United States, against their fellow countrymen. So you want to be real nice about it. You do. Because if you're not, what's a heaven for? Right? Yeah. Well, we have our answer. And, of course, the answer was to be found over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda.
and the brain trust there. And in particular, the brain trust as headed by that Madame Curie of bleach blonde, of bleach blonded brilliance. I mean, of course, the one, the only, the inimitable Elizabeth Hasselbalch. Yeah, let's check in, shall we, with a the three idiots on the. I'm surprised they're not under the couch, as opposed to sitting on it. But yes, let's do check it out. And by the way, hey, thank you, Goddess of Irony. Guess what? Today is the 40th anniversary of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, I'm told. Thank you, Carol. Yeah, that works out nicely. You there in your lovely fuchsia dress. Tell us about it, Elizabeth. Yes, do, please.
Here with us now, one of the six senators who signed a letter to President Obama to re-examine his policies on bringing Syrian refugees here, Iowa Senator Joni Ernst, who actually fights...
Oh, dear God, it's Joni Ernst. I'm sure we know what she... Of Iowegia, I'm sure we know what she wants to do. She's got a plan for ISIS, by God. She's going to personally go to Syria and castrate the ISIS because, you know, she growed up a castrating hogs out on a farm in Iowegia, and that's what qualified her to go to the new United States Senate. You didn't put the hockey puck down, did you? Oh, please tell me you didn't.
These wars, and now is fighting for the country in Washington as a senator from her state. Senator, well, for those who say that we lose our soul, like our governor here in New York, if we push back on these refugees, what's your answer to them?
Well, I think we need a thorough vetting process, and so I have joined a number of other senators in expressing to the administration that we need to make sure that we are 100% certain that anyone that comes into this country has been thoroughly vetted.
Yeah, okay, wait, time out, because we went over this, didn't we? We need a thorough vetting process. At least that's what the little ground squirrel that burrowed under my hair is telling me. We need a thorough vetting process. Doesn't that presume that there isn't one? And isn't there one? Why? Yes. As a matter of fact, there is. It is thorough, and it's a vetting. But and see, was there ever when our collaborators were brought over from Iraq after dim leaders war on the people of Iraq? What did you ever hear anybody war? Well, I mean, maybe Michael Savage Wiener, but apart from that, no. But see. We got Jihad Barry in the White House now, and he's just trying to. And look, don't think that Joni Ernst doesn't know who Rick Wiles is and Gator when the barking at the blow up spider. No, they know each other. They're networked. Sure. But no, this is. That one, you know. The Kenyan Muslim usurper, he probably took away that heroic, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing vetting process that Dim Leader put in place during the Reign of Error. So we got to have a thorough vetting process, you see.
With the process and what we have seen overseas, I am not so certain that we can do that. So I am proposing that we take a pause in bringing Syrian refugees into the country.
Okay, so Senator, when you say that, though, and on the heels of the president's remarks, President Obama saying this talk about stopping any refugees coming to our land must stop. Basically, people saying you're a bigot if you're classifying these people and not letting them in. How long of a pause are you proposing, and what is the risk, Senator?
Well, forever. That's how long the pause is going to be. It's going to be a forever pause. Some people might call it an end, but we're calling it a pause because that's a one-syllable word, just like end. Only it doesn't sound quite so hateful to the booger eaters who tune into your programs and think that I'm what a smart person sounds like. See how it works? Sure. Jack pointing out subject line vetting. Crap. I couldn't resist pointing out that the Republicans will shout, enforce the existing laws before making more. At least, you know, when they're talking about guns. Yeah, oh well. Cognitive dissonance? Cognitive dissonance. Yeah, that's six syllables, man. That ain't going to happen over there among the booger eaters.
Specifically the risk, if we do not employ that pause in allowing refugees right now from this region to enter our borders.
Well, this is not unprecedented. This was done after 9/11, and we have seen a very similar circumstance in France. So a pause could be indefinite. I know we will be meeting on this over the course of the...
What did I tell you? A pause could be indefinite. You know, like an end. Indefinite. It could be. Like in France. Except for the fact that the president of France has said... the mission has to be to take care of the suffering alongside rooting out the terrorists, who, incidentally, the people responsible for the attacks in Paris a week ago, Friday, not Syrian. They got a phone call from Syria, and, you know, anybody that ever gets a phone call from Syria, that makes you Syrian. That's how they transmit their Syrianness. God bless America.
Next several days, talking about the refugee crisis, talking about what we need to do to ensure Americans are safe. That is my first priority. I have served in that region as a company commander. Wait in Iraq. I understand the volatility there, but we have to understand the reason we have these refugees is because of the failed policy in the Middle East. We have a president that doesn't have a clearly communicated strategy, comprehensive strategy. That's why we have this crisis, but we must keep Americans safe.
Sure. Senator, I was...
She said the sheriff's near...
Watching one of the other channels yesterday, and I saw a Democrat who was defending the including and continuing these refugees to come here in the United States, because, you know, this is a country that takes hundreds of thousands of refugees, or rather close to 100,000 refugees each and every year. And what they said was the screening process is really rigorous, and we're going to put up a little detail about what goes through. It is classified, but we do understand there are multiple security checks. There's an in-person interview with somebody from the Department of Homeland Security. They do a medical screening test, a cultural orientation class as well. But ultimately, I think what worry a lot of people, Senator, is the fact that we have already heard from ISIS. They're going to try to use this particular refugee crisis to import more terrorists into Western nations. And,
of course, we believe everything that ISIS says because we're cowards and our pants are soaking wet from our cowardly pants wetting. They said they're going to do... Well, of course they will. I mean, they've got that kind of power. They've probably got powers commensurate with that of the Kenyan Muslim usurper wizard. Fools.
We certainly would qualify.
That is correct, Steve. And again, we have to push back very hard on this, making sure that we are...
She said hard on.
protecting Americans. I understand we have a very, very thorough vetting process with the information that we can get our hands on. But when you have a country such as Syria that is not willing to provide the background documents, it is very hard to ensure that they are properly vetted.
Senator, what Democrats also agree with you and will stand by you with this? We know there was a push by the Speaker yesterday. What about...
You know, funny... We let Rafael Eduardo Cruz, father of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, into the United States. And he, well, he originally came from a country that did not provide adequate background documents, but he's here, and he brought his reverb with him from Canada, and he's raising princely sums of money as a gospel hustler. And in fact, he claims that he was a... Wait, now hold on a darn minute. Rafael Eduardo Cruz claims that he was a Molotov cocktail thrower in Cuba. Is that really the kind of person that we want in the new United States of Merca? How do we know he's not going to start heaving Molotov cocktails about all over again when his anointed future king of America's son doesn't get to be president? Huh? I mean, granted, Donald Trump says that he's thinking about asking Rafaelito to be his vice president and everything. We know that. But still, I mean, a bomb thrower? Well, maybe we do need a better vetting process.
In the Senate.
I think we will have a number of Democrats, and we will continue working with our colleagues to make sure they understand the significance of protecting American lives. It has to be our first priority.
Is that are they concerned about pushback from the White House? Have they told you privately they like to support you and agree with you, but they're afraid of coming public?
There are a number that would agree with us privately. We will have to see what implications pressure from the White House brings to our friends across the aisle. But again, they need to understand that all of our citizens could be at risk if we're not properly vetting these refugees. Senator, why?
All of our citizens could be at risk. All of them. Every one of them. You. You may not be within 100 miles of a Syrian refugee, but you heard it. The Iowa hog castrator says that you could be at risk. Every citizen in the United States could be at risk. Are you afraid, America? 9/11!
Why would the president not echo your sentiments in saying that? Why would the person in the highest position in charge of keeping our nation the most safe, at the very least, accept a pause in this time with the good-hearted nature that, of course, as a nation, we want to accept refugees because they're not all bad, but the chance that any number of them could harm our own citizens, why would our president not share your sentiments?
Well, I would hope that our president would share these sentiments that Americans come first. We are a welcoming nation, but when we put our own lives at risk and on our homeland, that's where we differ. And for the president to take a pause, he would then be admitting that he has failed in the Middle East. He has not destroyed ISIS, and that's why we have this refugee crisis. So again, we need a president that will stand up and clearly communicate a strategy which will destroy ISIS, not degrade it, not contain it, but destroy it.
Wow. Senator Joni Ernst, always great to hear from you. Hopefully we get a bipartisan push towards what's best for America and what's best for our country's safety as we see what's happening in Paris this morning.
Thank you for your service and your time today.
I hope so as well.
And y'all come on out to Iowa. The caucuses is coming. Caucuses are coming up, and we're going to have a big testicle fry. Yum, yum. I'll be doing the castrating personally. Cause see, I served as a company commander in Iraq and Kuwait, and so I know about those people. They don't even have hogs to castrate. That's how uncivilized they are. But see, there's the key. We got to be, and Elizabeth Hasselbeck said it, we got to be good-hearted in our racist and terror-driven paranoia. Steve in New York with a question, subject line, fear. How do these people just get up in the morning from this level of cowardice? We don't rely on countries from which a person is seeking asylum to get information from that country because they're fleeing that country. That country hardly has an interest in providing information about someone they want to oppress. Obvious, one might think. But not to the bedwetters. God almighty. And so it goes on and on like this. You're probably, talk about something else, Bob. Jesus. How? This is definitional. This is foundational. This is what America has become. Roiled in gut-bending, bowel-watering fear. All mixed together with a great big rasher of xenophobic hatred. That may be redundant. I'm not sure, but it sure sounded good. We just can't seem to. But look, let's not kid ourselves, shall we not? It's not like up until 9/11, this country was a place of open arms. Yeah. By the way, Rafael Eduardo Cruz, father of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, did not apply for U.S. citizenship for 48 years. 48 years we let an admitted bomb thrower just wander about the country. Where was David Vitter then? I mean, after all, it's kind of hard to get background documents on somebody whose country has been bombed into rubble now, isn't it? Another note from Steve. We need a president to keep us safe, like George Bush did. There you go. Irish Dave says, so Joni Hogcutter of Iujistan is disagreeing with Uncle Ben, a.k.a. Dr. Tom. You know, rabid dogs. Also, too, every hospital neonatal unit would need a vet-type doctor because terror babies, as discovered by Louis the Grommet. It all begins to just swirl inside your head after a while, doesn't it? Dear Bob, what's wrong with me? I'm not afraid, and I'm not on meds. And I don't see. I'm lucky. I don't have any wing nuttery on my Facebook feed, because no. But Agnes is braver than I am. She is, after all, Agnes, Viking warrior princess. And she goes out and wanders around some of the seedier parts of the internet. And the stuff that these goons are saying, I saw a photo of some guy, you know, he ran out and found him a piece of cardboard and got him a little stick and some dog poo, and he scratched a message into the cardboard and says, "No Syrians in West Virginia." And you know, realistically, why would somebody want to go from a bombed out and blasted place to another bombed out and blasted place? But if you bring that up, don't you be talking down West Virginia. I'm a hard-working coal miner. I work to keep your lights on. Don't be talking down West Virginia. It ain't talking down to simply reference that thing which wingnuts most despise, namely reality. Oh, no. And all of this is still prelude and prologue to the true nastiness that undergirds this particular edition of Thorn in the Side Thursday. Because we're not there yet. For instance, we need to check in with a goon by the name of Bill Murray. Wrong Bill Murray, not that Bill Murray. Well, I don't think the hard stuff's going to come down for quite some time. No, not that Bill Murray. William Murray is the chairman of the Religious Freedom Coalition. And he founded something called the Government is Not God Pack. And according to the photograph I'm looking at, dude's just got a big old alien head. But never mind, that's being mean. But he knows. He knows. Oh, he knows. Why it was that the Paris attacks took place. Of course he does. You know who he told? Because we haven't heard from him in a while. You know who he told? Uh-huh. He told Chappie Gordon Klingenschmidt. You know what? If you've got a proper vetting process, you don't get to bring your Klingenschmidt into this country. But we don't, because Kenyan Muslim, you slurper.
France is basically overrun. There are anywhere between 2,000 and 6,000 French citizens fighting in Syria right now for jihadists. And they can come back anytime they want to. So this event in Paris was not an isolated event by any means. France has a problem. Europe has a problem. And to try to equate this with traditional family values,
which you cannot do, by the way, because if you've got traditional family values, that means that what you're upset about is where people go potty. Because, you know, there's men's all over the country that are willing to put on panties and bras and stuff the bras and some of those really constricting foundation garments to keep you from breathing and get a dress on and go into the ladies' room so that they can see people going pee-pee. Mm-hmm. That's your traditional family values there is what that is.
With the whole concept that we deal with here, with abortion and many of the other social issues.
Now, bear in mind, abortion and many of these other social issues. Bill Murray, who's not that Bill Murray, he's not so worried about the little Syrian fetuses, because, you know, they might get into the new United States of America. The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, indivisible, under God, amen. Right? Yeah, I'll tell you what, you listen to this guy for very long, you will Klingenschmidt your pants.
Here is the core issue.
Here it is.
Europe has been importing hundreds of thousands of Muslims because the women of Europe don't want to have children. They want to play. They want to have fun. They want to go on long vacations. They want to have money. They want to have cars. They want to have nice apartments.
And you can't do any of those if you're having babies, woman! That is not to say, of course, that is to say, I mean, if you're Bill Murray, who's not that Bill Murray, he's a big hitter, the llama. That is not to say, but it is to say, if you're that nobody in Europe, not the women's especially, is having babies. Good white European babies. So that's why they're having to import Muslims. They got all kinds of Muslim import companies. They'll import dates and, you know, blood oranges and you know, Muslims.
Secularly motivated, the church is almost dead in Europe. Less than 5 or 6% of the population, even though many say they're Christians, less than 4 or 5%. Many of these countries go to church. They don't believe that the propagation of the species is the most important thing that they're here for. They think that the most important thing they're here for are the secular reasons to have fun.
Fun. But because you know what? That baby having is not fun. I'm a guy. I should know. I've been pregnant 72 times. Fun. It's not fun. Fun. They're just trying to have fun over there. I mean, that's why that French Disney World was such a rousing success. Euro Disney, big success, because they're just over there having fun. You notice he says fun like it's a dirty thing. Fun. So if you're not willing to be a continuous incubator, well, you're the reason there are terrorists. Fun.
It's what they believe they're on Earth for.
So hang on a second.
Spend money and to have fun. So they're importing these hundreds of thousands of Muslims in order to work because they simply don't have children.
Hey, wait. Of course. They're importing these Muslims to work because they don't have children. And see, this is where being a long-time knower of words comes in handy. That sort of presupposes the follow-up phrase, which goes unstated by operation of the way English works. They're having to import these Muslims because because they're not having babies. They're importing Muslims to work because they're not having babies to work. If only Europe did not have child labor laws, maybe the terrorists wouldn't be winning. You know, I'm so glad I've never participated in a 12-step program, because I don't care how many chips I had. Clips like this, and, you know, the chips out the window, the straws in the bottle, and it's all over. Yeah, it's all those Europeans want to do is have fun. You know, it's never dawned on this craggy-faced goober that maybe the reason that Europe has largely given up on Christianity has a little something to do with some of the horrors that Europe has foisted upon itself in the last 100 years or so. Was it Elie Wiesel in Night who talks about coming to the realization that there just was no God? Because no God with a sense of decency would ever let happen what God, the all-powerful, almighty creator of the universe, it let happen in Europe over the last 100 years. The miseries inflicted upon the innocent.
Well, they're not innocent, see, because everybody born on Earth got the sin of Eve upon them. And it's in women's. It's always in women's. Cherchez la femme. I mean, that's a French phrase, ain't it? Find the woman.
Now, in recent days, a meme has sort of taken hold in this country. And that is, who said it? If only there was a relevant seasonal story about refugees who would not be afforded, referencing Mary and Joseph. Well, you know what? Your birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, booger eaters, libertarians, they're not going to have any of that. Especially not representing Brian Babin, who is a representing from Texas. Now, he's one of the ones who has been hooting and screeching the most loudly to stop them terror babies from a coming into the United States of America. And he ain't a-having any of that business about Mary and Joseph being no refugees. Just stop it.
Congressman, before I let you go, you know what's going to happen on December 11th when the omnibus bill comes up. They're going to they're going to bring up a government shutdown about this. This is going to be a hill they're going to want to die on. And what they're going to bring up over the holiday season is Mary and Joseph were refugees. Mary and Joseph went to Egypt. They're refugees. Hard-hearted haters like Brian Babin, like Steve Bannon, like Alex Marlowe, like all those crazies at Breitbart, like all those people listening to SiriusXM, the Patriot Channel, they're all haters. They're all haters. This is the goodwill season. And trust me, this fight is going to get ugly, and it's going to get tough, and we're going to have the back of courageous people like you.
Well, Steve, I would just say this. Mary and Jesus didn't have suicide vests, bomb vests strapped on them. And these folks do. You could see it in Technicolor in Paris.
Does that mean, and I'm just trying to get a little clarity here, does that mean that Joseph did have a suicide bomb vest strapped on? Mary and Jesus didn't have suicide bomb vests strapped on. He'd been working on that line for several days, and he got a chance to use it, and he just blowed it. Blowed it right up. He meant to say Mary and Joseph, because they was the refugees. But when they fled into the land of Chem. But instead, he screwed up, and he said Mary and Jesus. Yeah, I am honest to Pete. I'm going to shower with bleach when I get done with the program tonight. And of course, if you were to ask Representative Babin if he was a Christian, well, sure enough. Because God is love. And you know, Jesus loves the little cheering. All the cheering of the world except for Syrian refugee cheering. Red and yellow, black and white. Wait a minute, let me think about that. Damn! Does this just take your breath away? Because it does mine. Hey, by the way, that clip courtesy of Breitbart News, which apparently has a channel on SiriusXM. Yeah, while, you know, progressive broadcasting largely goes a-begging, right? Yeah. 9 minutes before the hour, and I have kept Jim in Nevadistan on hold for too long, and I apologize, Jim. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Go, man.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. You know, a couple of things, but the main thing that keeps running through my head is the fact that the goddess of irony never does sleep, never misses a trick. I mean, because if you think about it, this all goes back to the Dim One and his handler, Cheney, when they get in, and his first thing was getting into Iraq for the oil and the Middle East for the oil. When we could have gotten, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm naive, I think we could have gotten that through trade, but for some reason we had to control it. You know, instead of just working through normal channels, I guess, you know, like, what's that outmoded thing called trade?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they get what they want, but then, I mean, and also, if we were to just let Hussein continue to run things, we could still get the oil, and we wouldn't have all those troops, and all those troops who got dead, and all the ones who were injured the rest of their lives. But then again, that's like imagining that they would care about, you know, the Kroll's. They don't care about them. And you can't even explain to people that, even though they're, you know, the day off polls, you know?
Well, yeah. Don't smarten up the chumps, right?
Yeah. So, you saw where we don't have Bobby Jindal running for president
anymore. Somebody finally explained to him that he was not going to be the president. But meanwhile, he part of the reason he had to stop being president, Jim, is because he had to get back to the business of skulking around and stalking Syrians down in Louisianistan. I saw a story not too long ago about the fact that apparently his plan to follow all the Syrians in Louisiana is not going well.
Hmm. Well, we've got 60, I saw yesterday or the day before on Twitter about some sort of benefit. I think it's unemployment or it's got to be like 60 days left in Louisiana. It's running out of money.
Yeah.
But, can I go ahead?
No, please.
No, it's just incredible. They get what they want, and it just makes. I mean, imagine if Gore had won the election as he should have, and actually did. I don't think 9/11 would have happened. I mean,
I don't either. I've been saying that for years. I don't think that would have gone. It would have gone down that way.
And even if they would have attempted it, I think somehow, I don't know. Because I remember from what I, a little bit. Of information I've gotten from it, it's almost like, you know, I don't know if it was a JFK conspiracy where they made it happen as much as they just kind of let it happen. You know, I don't know because it seems like a lot of things that had to, you know, it's a situation where if one thing doesn't go right, the whole attack kind of falls apart.
Yeah,
and so for everybody, and it just makes me wonder if whatever Republican gets in, if they end up. That's another thing that nobody's brought up. I'm aware of, with the voting, you know, such as we have it here in the country now. Well, who's to say they won't do another install another president like they did with George Bush Jr.?
One of the things that militates against that is that apparently we're not going to have nearly as much video game voting this time through. That may have been a one-off Bush joint.
So the country's kind of awakened to the fact that this computerized voting is really pretty screwy. And from what I understand, it doesn't save that much time as opposed to, you know, just counting. Balance the old-fashioned way.
I mean, the story I saw was out of The Hill, and I can't remember the particulars of it. It was last week sometime, but apparently a lot of the video game voting machines can't be used because their firmware needs to be updated, and the states are so damn broke they can't afford to update the firmware.
Well, that's good then.
Yeah,
but you don't
have to have necessarily video game voting in order to squirrel up a vote. You can do that with voter suppression, which they are going at hammer and tongs.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, I've seen some things on the internet about that where certain states are just making it. Just more and more difficult to vote, you know. So, well, that's all I got. I just thought I'd give you a shout out, see what's going on.
Well, I'm glad you did. And
all right, yeah, let somebody else get through.
All right, and you take care, Jim. We'll talk soon. Bye now.
All right.
See, and thank you, Jim. I'm glad you called. I'm at a loss. These goobs apparently think that I mean, okay, so here's how it goes. You're living in Syria, and your everything in your town has been bombed into rubble, except the one this one building that's made out of the stuff that they make airliner black boxes out of, and it's got a big flashing sign in front of it that says, "Bomb vests are us. Get yours before you leave." So with what little bit of money these people have left, they run. They don't walk. They don't crawl. They don't saunter or stroll over to Bomb Vests R Us. They get their bomb vests and their ISIS marching orders, and they head for Europe or maybe even Merca. And along the way, you know, one will slip out, get loose, you know, and they'll find the little fella dead on the beach. And you remember when America was horrified by that? Yeah, now Republicans and teabaggers and et cetera look at that photo of that dead child on the beach and they think, well, there's one less terrorist to come and bomb our Wally World. Ugh. By Jove, I think we might have Todd on the line. Is that you, Todd?
It might be.
It might be. Is the jury still out?
Well, I haven't eaten dinner yet, so my blood sugar might be a little crazy. I don't know.
Well, if you've been listening to this program for the last hour and 59 minutes, there's no way you're sane.
I have, you know, we were on the same wavelength. I was on the same wavelength with you in terms of your discussion the other night about how this world situation is just looking. It's not, you know, it's not good, but I don't want to fast forward too much. I took a couple notes about tonight and what you've been talking about. You know, recently when Dr. Bill was commenting on this recent study where a certain segment of the population is dying prematurely.
That would be my generation, yes.
Correct.
Well, not my generation. White males between the age of 45 and 54.
45 and 50, and it's really bad in your area, in West Virginia. Those statistics that you were mentioning the other night were frightening. It's bad, but see,
those are, you don't have to really worry about it too much, Todd, because those are liberal numbers. Using liberal math that was probably derived by something to do with Common Core. It can't possibly be true because everybody in Appalachia is just happy, happy, happy.
Well, see, that's the thing. People are, you know, when you get depressed, anger is a whole range of emotions that you go through. And this has been going on for a long time, right? And middle class is eroding. I mean, one of the things I got from what Dr. Bill was saying is that if this is happening to that segment of the population, in other words, that segment is supposed to be thriving. Society set up for this. In that segment, that demographic to thrive. So, in that segment, if that demographic is not thriving, that, you know, does not bode well for the rest of the population.
You know, it doesn't, and it also says something about the myth, the mythology that forms the foundation of this country, and I think it suggests that there is a certain portion of our body politic that is waking up to the fact that, wow, have we been lied to?
Exactly. That's exactly where I was going. Do you remember? Oh, I'm getting in. You got me going. Stop it. Do you remember when the Tea Party got voted in? I guess it was 2010,
that's correct.
And everybody I know, including you, we were just disgusted when, it might have been in South Carolina, when somebody was running, they were running for State House or Congress or whatever, and people started clapping when whoever was speaking said, I can't remember who it was, said, yeah, let them die, they need to die, they don't have the money for it.
Oh, that was during the 2012 Republican pageants. I think it was cranky old Uncle Ron Paul asked if they just wanted to let people die in the hallways of the emergency room, and the Republican, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christians, they just clapped and clapped.
That was really a disgusting display.
So Todd, I'll agree with you there. It was a disgusting display, but can we also agree that it was a typical display in the truest usage of the word? That was the Republican Party behaving according to type.
So all right, so that's where we are. We have a lot of angry people who, some of them are in power and a lot of them aren't. They don't know why they're not, right? And they know the end is coming and they're trying to find somebody to blame. And, you know, I hate to say, this little experiment may not work. You know, what we call the United States, it may not work.
Or it may have experiments are not necessarily open-ended. In fact, proper experiments are not open-ended. And maybe we've just reached the end of this one. Maybe we're just not capable of it. Is that a possibility?
Where does that leave us, though?
In a hell of a bind, Todd, in a hell of a bind.
Well
where did that was too glib by half. Where does that leave us? That leaves us with accepting the status quo or trying to change it. And the trying to change it part is going to be perilously difficult. Because the deck is stacked. How are you going to change it when you've been redistricted out of being able to meaningfully affect any congressional races except the ones where Republicans want to take Democratic offices? How are you going to do that? That's why I keep saying the first meaningful opportunity to change the House of Representatives in this country comes in the November midterm elections of 2022, and that's a long damn time to have to wait now, isn't it?
Yes. You know, I think the last 8 years has really taught people, it's taught me and other people, how important Congress is. I think we forgot, you get very excited about a president, you know, it's exciting, but if you don't have the Congress, it's about what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, but I don't know how many people have learned, because what was the turnout for the 2014 midterms?
Well, look, they're getting beat.
How many pouting, petulant progressives sat on their hands? How many of the single most powerful voting bloc in the country, the young, just said, "Oh, dude, I'm not going."
Well, they didn't get it yet. They get it now. See, but we have to keep this mantra up. This is really important. We have to keep this up. This is what the Tea Party did. They started local. They got the state houses. That's how we got Scott Walker with his, of course, the Coke money. But we have to stay vigilant because, like you're saying, we have to get enough power so that the Jimmy Mandarin can stop. Because as it is now, we're entrenched where the Democrats may get the White House and the Republicans are definitely going to keep the House of Representatives, which means they hold the money.
Can I ask you a question? Now this is a total non sequitur, but sometimes I just get hit with these ideas, and I've got to ask. And maybe you've got some insight on this that I don't have, Todd. All these people who are terrified of the Syrian terror babies are also the same subset of people in this country who have enough guns to start their own war. And the reason I ask that, note that, is because the whole reason they say they've got their guns is so they can defend freedom. But I guess they can't get the drop on a Syrian woman with a baby at her breast.
Does this really
just mean they really are a bunch of pants wetting cowards with guns?
Well, that and you know, the race thing is a big factor.
So they're keeping their guns for when they have to start shooting Negroes, but they're not necessarily sharp enough with their guns to be able to murder unarmed Syrians? Or is it that the Syrian bomb belts are going to go off before they can draw and fire and shoot the dynamite?
As far as they're concerned, Syrians are black people. They're not functionally able to make that distinction. They're just brown people, if you get my drift. So, you know, these people don't even know what a Jew looks like. I'm serious. They really have no idea.
There was a right-wing Republican who at least tangentially or unintentionally touched upon the truth of the matter the other day when he said, "Well, we can't be letting these Syrian refugees in here. It's way too easy to get a gun in America." That's a question whose answer I do not know. If one is a refugee in this country, if one has a green card, can one purchase a firearm? Does the second Sacred Amendment apply to people who are not fully vested Merkin citizens?
I doubt that they could legally get a firearm, but I don't know. You know, that's an interesting question. So you're posing these questions. The people are scared because they've lost their place in society on the totem pole. They see these refugees coming in. I watched CNN. I just started watching regular news when this thing happened in Paris. And, you know, CNN, I remember when they were okay. When they first started, it was like they were reputable. They were decent. In the 80s, they were okay. But I was disgusted.
Well, that was before Ted Turner sold out to AOL Time Warner with the understanding that he would stay on the board and have some degree of oversight over CNN, and then AOL Time Warner said, "Ha ha, had our fingers crossed, get out."
they've lost their stature because the anchors, they couldn't help themselves, and they were just pandering and hyping things up, and they were citing things that were non-facts. They even had to catch one another on their non-facts. And it's like, you know what? If you have nothing else to say, let's just move on. Go to pan to something else. Interview somebody. You know, don't just sit there and babble and make up shit. You know, that's not news. When you make up shit, that's not news. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, you get no pushback from me on that. It is that.
I think
we are learning, Todd, I think we are learning more about the American character out of this particular, and really it's quite a nothing burger because there aren't, there's not, we're talking about 10,000 refugees when some countries are taking in tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. But we in America are bigger cowards than the Germans, than the French, than the Swedes, than the British, the Italians, the Greeks. I mean, the Hungarians. No. We're more cowardly than just about the entire body of Western to Central Europe. And by the way, have you noticed that none of these Syrian refugees are saying, "Golly, I sure want to go to Russia"?
No. They want to go home, or they just want to be settled. See, this is middle America. I hate it. It's just terrible that America has done. America has killed its middle. You know, the people that really supported it, and it's like they got stabbed in the back and they didn't even know it was coming. In other words, they had a little shot of Novocaine, and then came the broadsword. They didn't even feel it, and they were looking at their legs dangling, and they didn't even know it. You know, so. And this is where we are. And they keep voting against their interests.
This is where we are, and what scares me, Todd, is this is where we're going to stay. Because, see, like I said a little bit ago, about that business of, okay, so 2022 is our first chance? That's a broad statement on a national level. But you know what? The House of Representatives, what? Alabama has five congressional districts, or I don't know how many. Say they got five, and they got five congressional districts. Maybe, okay, seven. I don't know how many. But however many they have, the state of Alabama is not going to flip in 2022. State of Mississippi is not going to flip. The state of Georgia is not going to flip. God knows where you are is not going to flip. Yeah. Because, see, when it comes down to time to redistrict, even if there's a Democratic president in the White House for the 2020 census, when it comes time to redraw the districts according to the census data, don't you think for a minute that you're not going to wind up with a bunch of gerrymandered districts in South Carolina where the vast majority of black voters get, you know, one or two congressmen, and everything else is gerrymandered around them to make sure that they can't negatively impact the desires of white folks. And that's going to play out all over the Confederacy.
All over.
And we do not have a Supreme Court that will say no, hell no, you can't get away with that. By the time 2022 comes, Todd, you know, we're still going to be operating under what Charlie Pierce calls the Day of Jubilee, in which the Voting Rights Act has become a dead letter.
Well, just for your information, they are still allowed to distribute through the mail fake ballots. In other words, it purports to be the layout on the voting machine when you go to the polls. And it's all wrong. And I was shocked.
It's illegal, for instance, to send somebody, say the election's going to be on November 7th, it's illegal as hell to send somebody a mailer, a flyer, through the United States mail that says, now remember, white folks vote on November 7th, but black folks get to vote a day early on November 6th. Don't forget, mark your calendar. That's illegal as hell, it's mail fraud, it's a million other things. But that's the thing about Republicans, Todd. Being illegal has never slowed them down. And it's one of those toothless illegalities. It can be illegal all damn day long, but nobody's election result is never going to get overturned as a result of it. In this case, we're talking about white folks up in New Hampshire. Gene Shaheen got robbed back during the Bush era. She flat got robbed. And part of it had to do with some skullduggery done by the Republican Party of New Hampshire. They got caught red-handed. They were busted all the way down to the ground. And it had not a damn bit of impact on the outcome of the election. Because the person who got into office as a result of that fraud got into the office and stayed in the office.
That ought to be front page news every day. And you got these people running around worried about somebody who's voting twice, which think about it. And especially if you're a minority, do you know how long you have to wait in line to vote? It would take you 3 days to vote twice, which is impossible.
Right.
People waiting in line for 8 hours. But you know, talking about these elections, you remember when Karl Rove had the meltdown with Megyn Kelly?
Oh, yeah. When he absolutely dropped the acid and went down the rabbit hole. Oh, I remember.
Right. Now, it just so happened I had been reading one of those city papers. I was still living in the city then, and they had really good journalists. They had good investigative journalists. So it was an article about the Diebold voting machine fraud, basically where it's, you can manipulate the voting machine very easily, right? The Diebold electronic voting machine, which is, you know, it was all based in Ohio. And that is why John Boehner was so confident. If you remember on 60 Minutes, he was being interviewed on the bus during that campaign. He said, oh, no, we have Ohio. Don't worry about that. And that's why Karl Rove, he had a breakdown. Because they knew they had fixed it. But what happened is that someone found out, and they blackmailed him. Say, well, you know what? If you go through with it,
we're going to, we know who you are. We're going to tell them. And that would kind of ruin our whole election system. So that was, we have to get rid of these electronic voting machines. Cause in a small town like where I am, there's a lot of money here. And it's a small town. And I'm pretty sure they manipulate things. We need a receipt when we go to vote. But, you know, I have a question though. Seriously. And maybe you touched on this before, but why is it that I just have to say this because this is where I am. A lot of these southern, right-wing Christian people, they don't even understand how they are so much like the right-wing Islamic extremists. They don't really respect women. They don't want women getting too much education. They don't care about education that much. You know, they just want to, as long as it's religious related, you know, then they call it education. You know, they treat their kids like shit. There's so many similarities, and they don't even see it. It's like this extremism, and they're blinded to it. Does that make any sense?
Sure it does. It's all part of that cognitive dissonance thing I think I mentioned a little bit ago, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You can compartmentalize all kinds of different little pieces of your existence. You can be in church on Sunday, and maybe you're even a Sunday school, and you're leading the little children in a verse or two of Jesus loves the little children, red or yellow. Blah, no, that's, by the way, that's been revised to Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, white, 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 and white. Jesus loves the little children of the world. That's been revised in their hymnals. But no, you can even sing the original lines down there in the basement where the little blue-haired ladies teach about all the loving goodness of Christianity. You can be doing that on Sunday, and next day you can be standing out next to the highway with a sign that you scrawled with a sharp stick and dog poo, "No Syrian refugees in WV." And there's just nothing that happens in your mind. Nothing goes, I mean, because when you're sitting there with your sharp stick and your dog poo and you're scrawling your sign, nothing inside your brain is going, "Wow, I'm a hypocrite." It's totally compartmentalized. That one part of their brain is completely divorced from the other part. The part of their brain that says, "I got 57 guns in my house for when I has to protect freedom." It's completely separate and compartmentalized from that other part that's going, "Dang, I think I just peed myself thinking about a Syrian baby."
Yep. You said a mouthful. Hey, I know some gunned up people because I went to college with a friend. He's dead now, a friend of mine. So I got to know his family. I mean, that's when I started. When I started college, and they're like, they're on the edge of survival. So they live out in the country. They've got a little retention pond, and they're all gunned up, and you know, all of them know how to live in the woods and all that kind of stuff. You know, like Deliverance, that kind of thing. And
sure do got a pretty mouth. Yeah, I'm sorry, had to.
Yeah. So they like me because I don't think they're there. They've never been around. You know, they ain't never been around black people. You know, so like, hey, you know, so we got along already. Like, I can still go by there if I said I needed help. You know, I called them up; they would help. But this, You know what, though? We can do this. I think we got to get behind the tax Wall Street party. And that'll give us a nexus and a critical mass. Are you familiar with the tax Wall Street party?
No. I mean, I know about the transaction tax and stuff, but I've never heard about a particular party.
Right. Well, it's based on that. That's the main tenet of the party, is that small tax on those speedy transactions that they use with the computer algorithms, excuse me. But check it out, because we have to do something. We can't, if we go to sleep now, then we've lost, and we're well on our way to losing. So we have to do something. And maybe somebody else wants to talk to you. I just appreciate your time and your insight and Foghorn Leghorn.
Oh, you mean Colonel Cornpone?
Yes.
I love that.
It's too easy. But you know, it's, I don't know. Maybe I need to put these wing nuts on my Christmas card list, and I'll make sure that it says Merry Christmas by all means. But you know, thank you for everything you've done to just help me be what I am through the year. Love, Bob, and send one off to Louis Asparagus Gohmert and Steve Cantaloupe's King and Brian. Brian Bomb Belts Babin and the rest, sure.
Please don't send one to Paul Ryan because he's the Grim Reaper. He's the guy laying low. He's going to kill us all.
Well, he wouldn't read my Christmas card anyway. He's too busy reading Atlas Shrugged for the 97th time, especially the dirty parts. He's got those pages dog-eared.
Okay.
If you never have, don't read the dirty parts of Atlas Shrugged.
How dirty is it?
I mean, it's not like ultra filthy. There are no rusty trombones or Cleveland Steamers and dirty Sanchez's involved. But it's just some of the awfulest writing of a sex scene that has ever been visited upon the English language.
I'm glad you told me. I really don't have any interest in that book anyway. But I like one question about Paul Ryan, please, before.
Sure. We are in no hurry.
Well, I just don't want to get in stuck on anybody's feet. But what is up with the press? Because I distinctly, and I know I'm biased, but I'll try to be unbiased with it. You know, of course I'm biased, but Paul Ryan, when he came out with that budget, when he first came on the stage, it was harsh. I mean, it was like, are you serious? You can't be serious. What's wrong with you? I mean, it was
sure, Todd, come on. Sure, he was serious. Absolutely, he was serious because it is foundational to teabaggery and republicanism generally to despise anything that benefits. The working class, like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps, WIC, any of that, it's foundational to despise that, especially if one has oneself benefited from it in the past. It's classic kiss up, kick downery. Remember, Paul Ryan goes nowhere in life without Social Security. That
right.
Sucker went to college to the extent in large part because of the survivor's benefits that come from Social Security. But the thing is, once you've gotten it, you're afraid that somebody else might too, and that's one fox too many. That's one, no, not in his case. That's one weasel too many in the hen house.
Yeah, see, people like that are the problem. You know what's frustrating? First of all, this Paul Ryan thing. So why did the press, remember distinctly now, this is like maybe a month ago when it was clear that he was going to be the new speaker, they said, oh yeah, he has to be the new speaker because he's the one who can mediate, he can get along, he's reasonable, he's middle of the road. No, he's not! He's a fucking outrageous piece of crap. He's crazy. If he had his way, he'd get everybody a voucher for like, oh, you know what, here's $1,000. Oh, you broke your back, sorry. Here, you had your $1,000, you spent it.
Here's $3.29. Don't spend it all in one place, buster. Well, by the way, you got a note of fan mail in from our buddy Harry.
Hi, Harry.
Harry just wrote from over Baltimore way. He said, am in complete agreement with your conversation with Todd, recognitive dissonance, and classical Freudian defensive denial. I also agree that perhaps some people in this society are now waking up to the reality that they and we have been and are being lied to. Back in the 1960s, this was generally referred to as false consciousness, apparently a part of Marxian analysis of the deceptions of capitalism. But compared to the 1960s, what is going on now is truly horrifying, monstrous, and even though I don't like using the word, evil. And see, our side, we're careful about throwing around words like evil, because it because words mean things, as they said back during the Clinton 90s, when they were hollering, "Whoo, the flag is falling." So to throw around a word like evil is to say that one has some personal storehouse of judgment which one is willing to impose on the rest of humanity and the universe itself. And so one has to be careful throwing it. But every now and then you run across somebody who is evil or wicked or vile or walking around with a decent human being's heart in their chest. I'm not talking about Dick Cheney in the least, except for the part where I am.
Yes, you are.
Except for the part where I am.
Oh, wait a minute. You know what? That has been on my mind. I'm so glad that you brought that up, Bob. Now it occurs to me, if we could offer up in a court such as the United Nations, or whatever, what's the court they use in Brussels, or the Hague, or whatever, the Hague, right, the War Crimes Court. We need to offer up Bush and Cheney, okay, as like a two sacrificial, well, they're not even lambs are nice, two sacrificial, whatever they are, to the Eastern world, you know, to just acknowledge that, yes, these people did you wrong, we're sorry. I think that would help. And I'm not being flipped. I mean, they are war criminals.
Oh, nothing would please me more than if Dim Leader and particularly Cheney and maybe rum-filled and kind of sleazy rice goes great with kind of sleazy chicken and what's his name, Wolfowitz, the comb licker, and Fife and John Yoo and that whole dirty bunch were sitting in the dock in The Hague. You know what? If that happened, I would actually have hope for this country and for the large and for the wider world itself. I would too.
And I still want my apology because, you know, remember, I'm from Philly. I remember that's where Joey Vento, right, at Geno Steaks. He said, if you don't speak English, you know, you can't come in here. Then it came with the freedom. He was the one who started the Freedom Prize. What a dumbass. And can you imagine?
Yeah, it's
so
kind of...
Those of us who were deep thinkers said, you know what, maybe this is not a good idea. We don't have enough facts yet. We shouldn't just rush into this. This doesn't make any sense. That's the Middle East. Why would we do this? Have you thought this out?
The crazy keeps swirling and magnifying. I saw one story in the last few days where Big Bad Vladdy Daddy is saying, "Of course, are no Russian troops in Syria, except for the fact that, depending on who you believe, it looks like, well, there are." And you know what's gonna you know what that's gonna make real fun? The first time an errant French or American, whoever. God knows, please don't let it be the Germans, please don't let it be the Germans, please don't let it be the Germans. Bomb falls on some of those Russian troops who are not in Syria. The first time that happens, we're going to have a problem. Hey, Vlad, I thought you said they weren't in Syria. Had only gotten there 15 minutes before evil Western powers decided to target them deliberately.
So, you know, I think this is the trickiest. This is really we're in some new water because first of all, not everything, but most things now, in terms of what we're talking about, this international crisis in Syria, with the United States and Russia, and you know, being on the same landmass and trying to do different things, there's a lot going on because remember, Turkey doesn't like the Kurds, right? But we like the Kurds. But Turkey's supposed to be our ally, but Turkey's letting ISIS go back and forth because they refuse to seal their borders. Then we have Russia, which could be helping us and could not be. It depends on how you look at it. But it's because they're in the way, but they're not in the way. But what should we really do? What's going to happen to these weapons that we bring over there? Oh, we have already brought over there. You know, and it's interesting because in the past couple of years, I don't know if you were aware, but there's been a couple of good books out that by some historians that make the case that the First World War never really ended. You know, because you remember Bosnia?
Oh. Well, look, Syria, yeah. Syria is the First World War never really ended. Okay, because the borders that we're talking about, people going back and forth across. Look at the map of the Middle East, and you'll see all these straight lines.
Right, those are European borders.
Well, they were drawn on a map with a ruler.
Yep. See that. Well, did you know
in secret, 1915, 1916, by a couple of guys, a French diplomat and an English diplomat named Sykes and Picot. And they just sort of assumed that they would eventually win the war because sooner or later they would sucker the United States into it. And then they would, and after they won the war and the Ottoman Empire was going to be kaput, then they would divvy up the spoils, and they did.
Well, see, this whole thing is crumbling because, we're talking about the Middle East, but the same thing has happened in Africa. But that's not even get started on that. But I mean, North Africa maybe, because a lot of these folks come from North Africa. But yeah, it's you don't have respect for people. You know, and then you blow up their country because they don't want to participate in your banking system and be part of the IMF, and they have oil. See, our problem, when we made that, we broke our promise to the Saudis, because when we took the oil off, it used to be on the gold standard. When we went over there, because they didn't have the infrastructure. Britain and the United States had to build everything so they could extract oil. So we said, okay, we're going to base this on the dollar. And then what happened is that we took it off the dollar. Wait, how did that work? I think I got it backwards. Anyway, we broke our promise to them. Right? You remember us who killed Kennedy? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So that's part of the problem. And now we need them for oil. Yeah, I sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. I guess I don't. But the truth is in there somewhere. It's in there somewhere. But it's a shame because really, there's enough for everybody. Like you say a lot. You know, they want it all. Everything we need is right here for everybody. There's enough for everybody.
You would think. But there's not enough for everybody if 0.1% of this country wants it all.
Well, I hope somebody can call in and clear this petrodollar thing. I did have a damn pet, but it's been a while since I...
Oh, we decided to invade Iraq, Bush 4-2, sometime after Saddam started playing with the idea of creating his own bourse that was not dollar-based.
Mm-hmm. Well, just like Gaddafi, I guess. That's what I mean. Look at all this thing. This is, in other words, we should take these people in because we have a hand. And, of course, it's going to be tricky. You know, you have to vet people, but, you know, I mean, honestly, our borders are so open. I'll never forget when I was in San Diego. I didn't even know I was in the. I had to stay where I could afford, and I was there for a while, and I was still visiting, but I was there for an extended period of time. And when you're in a subculture such as I was at the time, it's common knowledge on the street. There's tunnels everywhere because San Diego is only like 20 miles from Tijuana, and they got all these. It's like a warehouse district. Between manufacturing facilities right across the border. So they're always having tunnels. There is no border. Because think about it, when you have a tunnel, even if that tunnel's open for a month, that thing's clocking 24/7, clocking. We may as well be nice to people because we have an open society. Except we have no privacy. Speaking of privacy, isn't it interesting how our intelligence people, they always drop the ball, but they know what the hell we're doing, right? But, oh, no, we can't find the terrorists. Oh, damn, we missed that one. Sorry.
Hey, that's another thing. This is what you're so good at, Todd. I got another question now. That national security state that can track you all the way from the ice cream parlor to the massage parlor. I don't mean you, but you know what I mean.
Sure.
Where they're listening in on all our phone calls, and they've got all of our secret recipes, and they know the 11 secret herbs and spices. How come it is that and the Republicans love it, because you know if you say Eddie Snowden to them, they go they make the sign against the evil eye and they wet their pants some more and they say Bruga Bruga, and why is it? I mean, do those bomb vests that they strap on the little 3-year-old toddler Syrian refugee babies, do they have some sort of thing that reflects NSA data mining and data gathering? Or could it be that we gather so much data that it just goes into one great big swimming pool sized humongous puddle of irrelevance? Any ideas?
They have so much they can't sort through. See, this it's really, in other words, maybe open up a genie, a bottle. That there was so much gas in that bottle, it was bigger than the universe, if you understand. In other words, it was a monumental event. When they opened that bottle, it just encapsulated every conceivable space of air that we have in all our being. Because now remember, we have this digital footprint everywhere. Remember that facility they're building, or they have built, They had to figure out how to get the water in there to cool it off, because they just couldn't get enough water.
Yeah,
because
they built it in a desert in Utah. Smart people.
Land was cheap.
They'll never find it out amongst the Mormons.
But see, this is what scares me. We're never going to have a competent president again, because what's going to happen now is it's going to be like, let's do an internet search. Let's see what these people are up to. Oh, you want to be president? Okay. Let's see what's going on. And then, okay. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, prostitutes online. You're hired. No, but you get my drift?
No, I do. Todd, it's always good talking to you, my friend.
Take care.
You have a good night, and you know, don't let your blood sugar get out of hand. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
All right, later. I mean that you gotta watch your blood sugar. I mean, I remember the evening I was getting ready to go to air, and it fell right through the floor, and you know, it's hard to do a broadcast when you're just sitting there shaking and sweating. Hypoglycemia sucketh. So it is 19 minutes before the hour, and I might add that we need to raise $160 to meet Chris's challenge. She's doubling $500 when they come in. We're $160 away from that. We are $180 away from meeting the evening's fundraising goal. It is not good when it's not helpful when we wind up in a hole like that. Not chastising, not pissing and moaning, not complaining, but it's not helpful. So 10 at 16, 16 at 10, 1 at 160, 1 at 180, however we do it, it would be, and there's, remember, the subscriber challenge on the table as well from Tony and Chico, and that runs out tomorrow. So too does the $500 challenge from Chris. So, but having mentioned that, well, we'll leave it be now. So all evening we've covered all of this ground, all of these manifestations of all of this hate all over this country. And if a politician has manifested it, let's at least try to remember, anyone who votes for someone who says this kind of hateful garbage, well, they're supporting that hate. Which brings me to Donald Trump, which is not quite the thorn of Thorn in the Side Thursday. Donald Trump, T-Rump, sat down for an interview with, and you really know the media landscape has changed when there's an outfit called Yahoo News, and maybe that's the truest statement available on media in this country. Donald Trump sat down for a formal interview with Yahoo News. News for Yahoos. The kind of folks that would vote for T-Rump. How about good journalism by Yahoo or something? Nope, it's Yahoo News. He sat down for an interview with him. And they asked him questions about, you know, those Syrian refugee dynamite babies. And he said, we're going to have to do things that we never did before. Some people are going to be real upset about it, but I think that now everybody's feeling that security is going to rule. It's going to rule. Yeah? It's going to rule.
I rule.
See? Government's policy of forcing Jews to wear identifying badges was but one of many psychological tactics aimed at isolating and dehumanizing the Jews of Europe, directly marking them as being different, i.e. inferior to everyone else. You know, that's what the Holocaust Center says if you ask them about the little yellow stars of David. But, well, Trump says certain things will be done that we never thought would happen in this country in terms of information and learning about the enemy. We're going to have to do things that were frankly unthinkable a year ago. In point of fact, T-Rump refused, when asked directly, he refused to rule out a database and special IDs that Muslims have to wear in the United States. Stupid ads. He wouldn't rule out warrantless searches. He was, in the words of The Hill, remained open toward registering U.S. Muslims in a database or giving them special identification identifying their faith. We're going to have to look at a lot of things very closely. We're going to have to look at the mosques. We're going to have to look very, very carefully. Are we disgusted yet? I'm not afraid of a single Syrian. I'm terrified of that man. But now we come to the thorn. We absolutely come to the thorn. Hey, Donald. Everybody loves tattoos now, right? We could get the Muslims some tattoos. We could put them right on their, maybe put them right on their wrists. Only we could do ourselves, we could tattoo on, like, barcodes, or those little square scanner thingies. And suddenly we're back to the beginning of the program. Unscannable! Why come you got no tattoo? But there it was today, in the House of Representatives. As shameful a thing as the House has done in a generation, by a 289-137 tally, the House of Representatives passed a bill today that would suspend the refugee resettlement program that lets Syrian and Iraqi refugees into the United States. You know, until key national security agencies certify they don't pose a security risk. The Department of Homeland Security already does that. Granted, Harry Reid says he'll try to block the bill in the Senate. Oh, do try, Harry. Do try. Now, even if it gets through the Senate, the president's going to veto it. But here's the rub. You can't come up with a number in the House of Representatives like 289 to 137 without some help from the Democratic Party. Oh, no, you can't. And they had 47 votes from the Democratic Party by way of helping. I wonder how Keith Ellison feels about some of his Democratic friends. You know, you have to call everybody in the House of Representatives your good friend. It doesn't matter if they're getting ready to spit in your eye, they're your good friend because we're going to have comity in the House. Listen to this list. You'll recognize some names that might even be shocking to you. And some names that are outright disgusting when you consider that they're voting against immigrants. Refugee immigrants. Aguiar. Ashford. Barra. Bishop of Georgia. Brownlee of California. Bustos, Carney, Connolly, Cooper, Costa, Courtney, Cuellar, Delaney, Doggett, Gabbard, Garamendi, Graham, Jean Green, Hahn, Himes, Israel, Captor. Hey, voters up in Ohio! Remember when you had a man with some real principles and a real conscience representing you? His name was Dennis Kucinich, but voted for Marcy Kaptur instead when they gerrymandered the district. And you sent Dennis home and you kept her. Aren't you proud? Keating, kind of Wisconsin. Custer, Langevin, Lipinski, Loebsack, Lynch, Maloney, Murphy. Let me know if I blow past one of these names and it's an old Cherokee or Navajo or Hopi or Cheyenne or Lakota or Iroquois. Or Lenny Lenape name, do please. Let me know if it's a Chickasaw or a Choctaw or a Muskogee name. Wouldn't you please? Because every name on this list has at some time been at least an immigrant. And quite possibly a refugee. Nolan, Norcross, Peters, Peterson, Paulus, Rice, Ruiz, Ryan, Schrader, Scott, Terry Sewell, the only black woman who represents a district in Alabama, the only Democratic district, congressional district, left in Alabama, whose forebears were slaves in this land. Kristen Sinema of Arizona, Louise Slaughter of New York, Vesey, Vela, and Walls. The bill by itself is a shame and a sham upon every idea of what this country is. But those Democratic names, I don't know. because they are all each other's good friends. Yet maybe Keith Ellison won't hold it against them. Even though they're all on the same side of the aisle now with a party who's running a candidate that thinks maybe the Muslims need to wear special identification. Reckon it'd be a little yellow crescent? Won't that look nice on Representative Ellison's lapel? Yeah. And then finally, by way of tweeting out the word of that, the global affairs correspondent for CNN, Chicken Noodle News, a woman by the name of Elise Labatt, tweeted the following. House passes bill that could limit Syrian refugees. Statue of Liberty bows head in anguish. Elise Labatt has been suspended from her duties at CNN for 2 weeks for typing the words Statue of Liberty bows head in anguish. Really? An individual by the name of Eric Wemple asked CNN to tell him what part of their editorial guidelines Labatt violated. CNN is somehow embarrassingly mute on the subject right now. Well, you see, she didn't really violate any editorial guidelines. She violated violated corporate guidelines, and she violated the guidelines that that we sort of have unstated here. That say that we don't want to do anything that would piss off the Republicans, you see, a bunch of sissy Democrats, we're not really afraid of them, but we're doing everything we can here at Chicken Noodle News to try to be a little more foxy, if you know what I mean. Right. The House of Representatives has opened up a bucket. And poured out. Bucket my foot. They've opened up a barrel of shame and poured it out all over this country. Or at least poured it all over those of us who remember the foundational principles that were supposed to motivate this country and have apparently been chucked right out the window. Yay us. Oh, yay us. It's a good thing we don't have much time left in the program this evening, or I'd have to queue up Lee Greenwood about now. If tomorrow all the stuff I had got took away in a bomb blast by a Syrian refugee baby, I'd still thank God for America, because America is awesome to me. What a pathetic bunch of cowards we are. What a sorry bunch of thumbsuckers we've turned out to be. America! USA! USA! Wait a minute. Is that a little Syrian baby? Run! Run, Mildred! Marveline! It's a Syrian dynamite baby! I'm ashamed. Just ashamed. Whether I'm ashamed or not, it's time to get out of here. If you're in the chat room, stick around. Malloy will be by in a minute. Thanks to everybody who makes this program happen. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky, and thank you to our news ninjas and John Fox and Ben Birch. Thank you, Greg, for letting us just drop in and hang out on the couch in the Malloy chat room again this evening. Thank you to all of you who spend your precious finite time listening to the program. It's what makes it worth doing. thank you to all of you who support the program that make it possible to do. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. But always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.